Good to see you today on this cool Texas day. I had to go out and cover all of my plants last night, so I hope they survived okay. That's Texas weather, though, isn't it? It's good to see you here. Let's go to the Word of God and go to Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. While you're turning there, let me just say about the tea party. If you need transportation, if you'll see Mrs. Perez, raise your hand there, would you please? God bless you. I see that hand. And then my wife over here, everybody knows her, so you can let them know that you might need transportation, and we can make that arrangement. And then she has some of the little flyers. If you ladies didn't get one, just see Mrs. Perez, and you can get one of those, all right? Now, we're in a study, a series entitled Consider Christ. This is our second lesson in this series. And today's title is Consider His Presence. Consider His Presence. And we want to talk about that as we look at these verses. Let's start with verse 35, Mark 4, verse 35. And we'll read through verse 41, the end of the chapter there. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And you're familiar, most of you, with this story. In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. That's Jesus talking to primarily the apostles. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full of water. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, Jesus was in his Galilean ministry during this particular time, and he was very, very busy. He was preaching. He was working miracles of all kind. And so here he is out on a boat and he's teaching the people. Many people had gathered together there to hear him teach. And now he wants to go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he wanted his apostles to go with him. I think he was already in the boat and they were going to get in the boat. And he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. Let's go to the other side. I would say that they should have recognized some confidence in what he said. But they just took it sort of mediocrely as far as they were listening to him. And sometimes we do the same thing. But he said, let us pass over to the other side. We are going to the other side. And that's where the Gadarenes were. You heard of the maniac of Gadara. It was the same territory. And so they were going there. Now, I have an idea when these people on the boat started out, they were not afraid because a good number of them were fishermen. They had been on the Sea of Galilee. They had experienced storms before. And probably they thought, this is no problem. We can handle this. We'll just go right across the Sea of Galilee without any difficulty whatsoever. And that was probably their attitude. But they were going to find out something. They were going to find out, we need Jesus. We really need Jesus. And sometimes we think we can do it and we can work it out and we don't need Jesus very much, but we must have the Lord Jesus Christ. And we neglect him sometimes. What does he do when we start neglecting him? Sometimes he allows storms to come into our life. And when the storms and the problems come into our life, then we forget the fact that or we realize the fact that we don't have the power to get through that, but we have to lean on the Lord to get us through that. When our grandson took his own life, it was a very tragic thing for us. We loved him. He was like our own son, and that was a very difficult thing. That's been a little while now, just a few years, but I'll tell you, it was tough to go through that, and we'd never gone through anything like that, and the whole situation that created that, I won't go into all the detail, but it was a marriage problem, and so that made it difficult. We loved him. I remember sitting at my desk, my little office there at home, and the phone rang, and my son-in-law told me. And I thought, I just, you know, how are we going to handle this? How in the world can we handle this? But here we are. God's grace is sufficient. He saw us through all of that. It wasn't easy. But you have some storms that you can relate to. Go back and say, I've been through that. I went through something like that. And God was with me. And God saw me through that. So let's look at three different truths about the presence of God and the help of God during the storms that we go through. Number one in your outline, the reality of storms. The reality of storms. Verses 35 through 37, looking back at those verses, Mark 4. In the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let's pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm. I mean a great storm of wind. The waves beat upon the ship so that it was now full. This was a full-fledged storm that they had to deal with on this occasion. Let me point out this. The fact that Jesus is present with us does not always guarantee us a safe journey or a trouble-free journey. Though he's with us, it does not always mean that. And we have to recognize that. Now, there's an error taught, especially by some TV evangelists and others, who teach that if you're living right, you're just living right, you're going to have a lot of money, and you're not going to have any health problems, you're not going to have any storms. All you got to do is live right. That's an error. That's a lie, to put it very frankly. And yet, their reasons for saying that are their reasons. But I can tell you, if you study your Bible, you'll find out great people in the Bible had problems. How about Job? We won't go there for very long, but that's just one. And he loved God, and he was a righteous man who loved the Lord, but he had problems. The fact that you are walking with God, by the way, the disciples, were they in God's will then? Were they doing what Jesus told them to do? They were perfectly in his will. And you can be in his perfect will like that and still have some problems. So, and that doesn't mean, God is punishing you just because you have problems. You know, we Baptists say, I wonder what's wrong with them. I wonder what's going on in their life. Until it happens to us and we say, boy, they shouldn't be thinking I'm living in sin. But anyway, these disciples were obeying the Lord. A in the outline, they can be unpredictable. Storms can be unpredictable. That is so true, isn't it? The Sea of Galilee, some of you have been over there, it's 732 feet below sea level. And many times it is the site of a ferocious wind. I remember the first time I was over there and they told us, be careful at night and watch when you're going down there. Just be sure you know that a storm can come up very quickly on the Sea of Galilee. It's sort of with the mountains coming down and the valley and all, it's almost like a large wind tunnel. And a storm can come up very, very quickly. Have you ever been in a situation where a storm came up and you weren't expecting it? I mean, it happened very quickly. My friend and I one time were in Dayton. I was in Indiana pastoring. And we were at the Dayton Air Show in Dayton, Ohio. And we were staying to the very end. Big crowd. It's the second largest air show in the country. And we were there. We wanted to see the last few planes come through. And we'd been there all day. They had porta potties everywhere out there, set up on the edge of a canal that ran all the way through that area. And so we were staying to see the last thing. And all of a sudden, a storm, there were no clouds or anything, hardly, it just came. It was a burst of wind. And these guys were trying to put their blanket up, and that thing went airborne, and my friend and I grabbed a hold of it, and it started pulling us through the air, and almost like a parachute, and then we wound up in rain and mud. We were looking at each other in the face. I said, "You all right?" He said, "Yeah, I'm all right. How about you?" I said, "I think I am." And so we looked, and a big, huge tent was going over, and the funniest thing to me was a lot of people ran into the porta-potties. And, yeah, and guess what happened to the porta-potties? And we were in line with some of them. But anyway, it was not a pleasant experience. That's a true story. But we were not expecting that storm, and obviously they were not either. And so that's enough of that, but that's what happened. It happened so quickly, and they can be totally unpredictable. It can happen very quickly. So when this happened, I guess momentarily, these disciples forgot that Jesus was in the boat with them, or who he was, and to be reminded of that. And they were not thinking properly about that. When Jesus said, "We're going to the other side," they should have said, "We know that you're the Messiah. We know that you're Rabboni. We know we can take your word. We've seen you work all these miracles. You've raised the dead, healed the blind, and crippled, and so on and so forth, and the deaf." And they should have known, he can handle this. He can handle this storm. And when Jesus said they were going to the other side, they should have taken his word for it. But sometimes our storms come, but let me tell you, they never take God by surprise. You'll never face a storm that takes God by surprise. And God knows what he's doing to allow the storm to come. God knows exactly what he's doing. What is he doing with them? He's making us more like Jesus. That's exactly what he's doing, making us more like Jesus. Romans 8, 28 and 29, you know these verses. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. But let's go to verse 29. And there's a reason for all of that. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to what? Go to heaven, go to hell? No, not at all. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And God says, I allow the good, the bad, the indifferent, everything in our lives. For what purpose, Father? To conform you to my son, so you'll be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a lot of times in peaceful times, we get very complacent, very self-dependent. And so God allows a storm, and he's just molding us. He's not being mean to us. Then be in your outline, they can be unmerciful. They can come up very quickly, unpredictably, and then they can be unmerciful. Sometimes when we have a bad storm, we feel like they describe the boat. We're just full up. They said they were filled. The boat was filled. And sometimes we go through some problems, and we're all just human. I mean, they're real. They're tough. And we go through these problems, and they fill us up emotionally, let's say. And so we have to go to the Lord, and we feel like the water's coming up to here. We're about to drown. But Mark 4:37 in our text, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Luke says this, 8:23, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was out fishing, I don't have time to tell some stories. I really would like to tell But let me just tell you very quickly, one time I thought I put the plug in the boat in the right hole, but I put it in the wrong hole. And Jay was with me, Jay Richardson, and I said, "Jay, this boat is filling up with water." And he said, "Well, what?" Said, "You put the plug?" I said, "Yeah, it's tight. It's in there good." And all of a sudden, it was just filling up. And I said, "Something's wrong here." And another guy came by. I said, "Help us figure this thing out." And he said, "You put the plug?" "Yeah, it's in there." So he pulled the boat out a little bit, and I'd put the plug in the wrong hole. And so that wasn't going to work. And I had to take the boat out and suck some of that water out of there and then come back, put the plug in the right hole. And so it's not a good feeling when the boat's full of water. It's a bad situation. And so sometimes spiritually we feel like that. We're overwhelmed. Have you ever been overwhelmed with some of the problems that come your way? And we face these situations. Now, different people respond in different ways to these things, especially if they're unsaved, but even some Christians. But they turn to alcohol, immorality, they turn to drugs, anything else that they think will help them escape the problem. These are not good things. Sometimes they make foolish and major changes they wouldn't have to make. They switch churches, they switch houses, they switch schools or something of that nature. But what we need to do in those times is let God work on our heart and change our heart instead of us doing something radically different that really isn't going to help. Real comfort is when we trust the Lord. James 1, 2 through 4. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different kinds of temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh" what? "Patience." Anybody here needing more patience? Have you been praying for it lately? Maybe not. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Wanting nothing. And so here we go with it. But don't quit. Don't quit and bail out in the middle of a trial like some people do. Let God work and let him work through you. God can use your trial to bring honor and glory to himself. And again, he's just molding us. And sometimes whenever the trials fill us up, we've just got to trust God that much more. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding." That can be a bad mistake. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Lean on the Lord. Lean on him. God never fails, and he never will fail you if we lean on him. So sometimes we have fear, and when that happens, we may lose a sense. As we are just human, we may lose a sense momentarily of God's presence. The disciples had seen all these miracles, but they forgot. And sometimes we forget what God has done, and we begin to worry again. We begin to fret about things, and we lose perspective. Sometimes we just flat forget how big God is, how powerful God is, and how great God really is. And God is good for every storm. So when trials come, you know that what Satan wants to do in those trials coming, sometimes God allows him to be part of that like he did with Job. But Satan wants us to lose our perspective. He wants to allow trials so we'll take our eyes off of God. And he'll say things like this to us: "You see, God really isn't with you. Where is God? If God loves you, why is he allowing this to happen to you? If God really cared, if he really loved you, he really doesn't care. Everyone else is against you too." You just begin to go downward and feel that way about it. But I tell you, God does care, and the devil is a liar. Amen? He is a liar. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. "Beloved, think it not strange when you fall into divers or fiery, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice." Rejoice in trial? Yeah, rejoice. Why? "Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." If we suffer, somehow God permits it, for the glory of God, we're not going to regret it when we stand before God. We'll never regret it. So just don't quit on God. And if we don't quit on God, God will be glorified. It's a great privilege, a wonderful privilege of those of us that are saved to be faithful. Because when we're faithful during the trials, God gets glory out of it. He gets the glory from it. And the disciples forgot who was with them, evidently. But it's a good thing in a way, and a good thing came out of that. What was that good thing? They knew where to go. They knew to go find Jesus right quick. And so sometimes some good like that will come out of it. And we have God there for us to go to. So the reality of the storms, they brought their fear to God. Secondly, Roman numeral 2 in the outline, the request of the fearful, verse 38, Mark 4:38, where he says in this verse, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They went to Jesus and woke him up. Can you just see that picture? Jesus is in the stern of the boat, sleeping, resting on a pillow. And they're panicking. So they make that request. And in fear, what do they request? Well, A, they request his attention. They go to him to request his attention. God has a purpose. God has a plan for allowing it. But when we go to him during those times, there should be a fellowship that we have with him when we're going through those trials that draw us closer to him, that pull us closer to him. I'll guarantee you and grant you that when that happened to our grandson, it drew us closer to God. We had a dependency on him and a fellowship with him that we would not have known. And he wants to draw us closer to himself. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You believe God cares for you today? He knows you. He knows your name. He knows what you're up to, you Baptist you. He knows exactly what we're up to. He knows us. Casting all of our care upon him. We want God to remove it, but what God wants to do is improve it. He wants to improve us. So he wants to strengthen us. In a little illustration, a man was fishing in North Carolina, a family really. This was a long time ago, 1799. The man's name was Conrad Reed, and he discovered where they were fishing a large rock that was there that sort of got his attention. So he brought the rock home, and they talked about it, and then for the next 3 years, they just used it as a doorstop. So finally he decided, this thing is unique. And he took it to a jeweler to find out what it was and found out that it was just saturated with gold. And back then, it was worth $3,600. So this was something that they discovered. And for years, they didn't know the value of the doorstop. But it took an examination to show the value of the doorstop. What are we talking about? Well, the rock had to be examined to discover its value. Sometimes our faith has to be tried and has to be examined to discover the value of faith. We discover a lot of things. And mainly we discover that God is with us. God is there with us. He's in the boat. Don't forget he's in your boat. Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Boy, if Christians would practice this, we'd all be a whole lot better off. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that doesn't mean you can't try to improve yourself, but it means do your best, but be content with what it is. Why? Well, he's never going to leave us or forsake us, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. God's my helper, and I don't have to fear. God is never going to forsake me. So we have to recognize that. And the disciples requested his attention. And then B, they request his help. They request his help. You know, God likes for us to humble ourselves before him. He doesn't mind us humbling ourselves before him. I think he rather likes it when we ask for help. They were weak. They had little faith, but they asked for help. James 1, 5 through 8, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask, how? In faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's saying, you've got to ask God for wisdom. Go to him for help. He'll give it to you. And if we're not wise enough to do that, we're like an unstable wave coming in on the ocean. I love this, these two verses here in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. They are new how often? Every morning. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. They're there for us every morning. It's the Lord's mercies that we're not wiped out or consumed. So he loves us. He hears us. No man, no organization, no psychiatrist, nobody, no physician can help us like the Lord Jesus Christ. Helen Keller said it this way, although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it. It is full of the overcoming of it. And so there's plenty of suffering, but there are plenty of people to overcome during that time. The disciples had the storms. We have storms. They requested help. We should request help and ask God for it. So we have the reality of the storms, and then we have the request of the storms, and I'm going to have to rush this next. Number three, the response of the Savior. Verse 39, and he arose, and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So he rebuked the wind. He rebuked the wind. That means he charged it sharply. In other words, he with authority spoke like that. Now, Satan fights us, and we know that. And yet God is the creator who has how much power? All power. He is omnipotent, omnipotent. God has all power, and by the power of his word, he created by the power of his word right here. He stopped this storm. And so we face the winds of adversity, but there is power in God's word that'll help us defeat the storms. And so he spoke to the sea. He spoke to the sea. He said, peace. That means a silent hush. A silent, peaceful hush. And then he said, be still. In other words, that really means, as you go back to the original word, he muzzled them like that. To close the mouth with a muzzle. And he muzzled the waves and said, be still. And so they could no longer disturb. And I can tell you today, he can muzzle your storm too. He really can. You just have to depend on him. We have to trust him to do that. Psalmist said this, 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Sometimes we do get a little afraid. But what do? We're supposed to trust in him. And then see, he challenged the disciples. Verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? So, I don't know where you are today, but you may be today like the disciples. Fearful. You may be struggling with something today. It's a little tough for you. You're struggling to trust the Lord. You know he's there, but you're just having some problems with it. But he knows about that, and he sees our burdens. The Lord sees our worries and our trials and difficulties. So we should not fear, though. Why? He's in the boat with us. He's there. He is present to help us out. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help when in trouble. Therefore, because that's true, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Stop, pause, think about it. God is our refuge and our help, our strength, no matter how bad the storm. And remember that fear cancels faith and faith cancels fear. So which one do you want? God takes care of nature, and God can take care of you. We don't have time, but Matthew 6, 25 through 34 reminds us, the Lord has said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or your body or what you're going to put on. Is life not more than meat and the body than raiment? Then he goes on to say, look at nature, how I take care of that, and I'll take care of you. If he can handle the ocean, he can handle the Sea of Galilee, he can handle your problems. So the disciples needed help, and they were at a great place to find that help. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, I quote him, we have no more faith at any time than we have in the hour of trial. All that will not bear to be tested is mere carnal confidence. We need to really trust the Lord. Let me read that again. We have no more faith at any time than we have in the hour of trial. All that will not bear to be tested, you can't have it tested, is mere carnal confidence. And so God allows it, and we realize he's enough. After their experience, they marveled, verse 41, we'll finish up here. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You can think about that question. What manner of man is this? He was the God-man, but as much man as God, as much God as man. But he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of a virgin. That's who he was. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the bright morning star. He's the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. And he's standing in your boat today. He's with you in your boat today. How wonderful is that? Jesus, the creator of the world and all that is with us today. If you're saved. And if you're not saved, then he can save you from the storm of sin and eternal punishment. God's in the boat with us. Don't you feel better now about the whole thing? Dr. Barber says, I feel better about the whole thing. Well, we ought to. God is in the boat with us. So don't worry and fret and chew your fingernails off and pop tranquilizers. I know there are some medical needs, and I understand that. But we need to trust God and just have a peace in our heart. He's in control. And I have a hunch they wound up in Gadara, don't you? I believe they did. Father, thank you for your word. We love you. And thank you for these who are faithful to come and study the word of God. Bless them for being here. We ask now that you would be with Brother Shetler in the morning service. Give him liberty as he preaches. And Lord, we know that he's a man of God. He's going to preach the word of God in the power of the Spirit of God. We pray that souls would be saved. In Christ's name, amen.